Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Digital Diary. I am your host, Hannah Elise. This is our 40th episode, which means this is our fourth installment of the Dear Diary Q&A / advice session episode. If you didn't know, if you're new here, you've joined our podcast family since my last one of these, since episode 30, I guess. Every 10 episodes, I do a Q&A advice sesh type of thing. I put a question sticker on the Instagram story, Digital Diary Pod, and I just asked for y'all to ask me questions, anything you want me to talk about, anything you want advice on, or anything like that. So welcome to today's episode. I'm excited to sit down and chat. I love these episodes. They feel so informal and kind of just like we're talking. I mean, honestly, this whole podcast feels like we're just kind of talking on FaceTime, or maybe just on the phone because you can't see me, so it's not FaceTime. I feel like that's more YouTube. But this really feels just like a big sister conversation, whatever. I don't even know actually what y'all asked. I wanted to be surprised this time, so I put the question sticker up yesterday and I haven't looked at it. I am in a great mood today and I feel like there's a lot of factors contributing to that. First and foremost, I woke up and there was a brisk, and when I say brisk, I mean brisk, fall air coming through my windows, and it just invigorated my soul. I'm telling you, this time of the year, I don't know what it is, the cooler weather revitalizes me. It just brings me new inspiration for life. I can't explain it. I know some people feel that way about the summer, but for me, it's the crisp, cool air. I'm sitting in my apartment right now and the heat has been turned on, so hopefully the pipes refrain from screaming at me until I'm done recording this podcast, but it feels so cozy, and especially in the colder weather months when I have the windows cracked open and you can feel the cool, ugh, and I'm just like wearing a sweatshirt and sweatpants and candles on, and it's just the most amazing cozy vibe. And I love everything cozy, if y'all haven't picked that up by now, which I'm sure you have. I'm in a great mood. Also, I made my coffee this morning and it's really good. I think I'm gonna use this to segue into my catch-up segment. So to discuss what I'm drinking today, what's Hannah drinking? I still can't decide if it's cringy that I called that prompt what's Hannah drinking, because I'm talking about myself in the third person. I can't decide if I'm giving myself the ick for that, but I'm going to keep saying it. So whatever. So I discovered recently, and this is kind of crazy that this is a recent discovery for me, considering I've had my espresso machine for over 3 years now. I've discovered that putting all of my like things that I usually add into the coffee, for example, like brown sugar, cinnamon, my sugar-free vanilla syrup, whatever, I've realized putting those things in the cup and then brewing the espresso shots on top of that and then like mixing them all together that way makes it taste better. I don't know why. It's still the mixture of the exact same things, but something about the hot espresso being brewed directly over that and then mixing it all together while it's hot, I don't know, maybe does something with the flavors or like enhances them. I don't know. But I did that today. I put all of my things in first, the syrup, the sugar, the what else? Cinnamon. And then I added my almond milk on top of that. And it just tastes better. It could be a placebo effect. It probably is a placebo effect, but I'm going with it because it's really good. That's all. That's what I'm drinking. Yay. I feel it's literally the same thing every single time because I make coffee at home 99% of the time. Let's talk about something that I'm excited for this week. Yeah, something I'm excited for this week is the fucking weather. You guys know by now that this is like half a weather podcast at this point. It affects my mood. It affects my mental health. It affects my motivation levels. As I just said, the cool, crisp fall weather makes me feel energized. Like it revitalizes me. It breathes a new life into me. And looking at the forecast for this week, it is going to be in the 50s and gets up to the highest. It'll be Sunday, 64. But 64 and sunny, oh my God, that's stunning weather. I'm so excited for that. I love going outside when it's this weather. I love dressing and putting on a cute fall outfit in this weather. I love sitting in my apartment and having my windows cracked open and the breeze coming in this weather. It just makes me so happy and it makes me just more excited for everything. I don't know. Also, oh my gosh, I forgot to say this. If you're listening to this the day that it is posted, Tuesday, October 31st, happy Halloween. In honor of Halloween, I will not be leaving the apartment, but I will be finishing a book, hopefully finishing a book that I've been reading, Ninth House by Leigh Bardugo. And I really want to finish. I'm almost done. And that book gives me Halloween vibes. It's very dark academia, sinister. It's the perfect Halloween vibe. And I want to finish that book by Halloween. My last thing is one thing I am thankful for right now. I am thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for all of you every day, but I was just thinking about it a lot last night and this morning, how lifted up I've felt. I don't know if it has something to do with the fact that I've kind of been in a slump and have felt unsure of what I'm doing or if I'm doing the right thing just in general in life and my career and my content. And I don't know, I've been overthinking a lot of things, but the real ones always stick around and lift me up. And I genuinely can't thank you enough for that. It blows my mind that people care at all. Like, first of all, absolutely blows my mind. But after my mind is done being blown, I can't express in words how thankful I am for that. And just for the support in general, any level of support. It's the reason I'm here, obviously. It genuinely keeps me going when I feel like I can't or I shouldn't anymore, or I have nothing left to say, or I don't know what I'm doing, or I don't know if, you know, I'm doing the right thing or whatever. It's what keeps me going. Just knowing that there are people out there that care and that feel some level of comfort or feel cozy listening to or watching my content. That means the absolute world to me. I always said that if I could touch one person's life, and this is getting really deep right now, but I've said this for so many years, even before I started social media, this is how I felt. I felt that if I in this life could touch one person's life or impact one person in a positive way to the point where they move forward in their own lives with a different perspective or a different feeling or whatever because of something I have done, that's all I want in life. That's literally all I need out of life. And I didn't know how I was planning on achieving that, but that's just how, that's been my goal. And then through starting social media, I've had people tell me that that's something I'm doing. I don't want to say that that's what I'm doing because obviously I can't speak for anyone else, but I think that's what I'm doing, which is the most amazing thing ever in the whole world. And I feel like I have, this is so deep. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry for getting this deep. Oh my God, no, my freaking heater is whistling at me. You guys hear that? Fuck, I'm gonna have to take an intermission. I'll be back when this is done. All right, it stopped and we are back. Anyway, I need to get into the actual questions of this episode, but I just got carried away. But I am eternally grateful for all of you guys. I actually wanted to do something this holiday season to thank you, I guess. I don't know if it's even that, or I just want to do something fun for y'all this holiday season. So make sure to stay tuned on my personal Instagram, which is just my name, Hannah Elise Mowdy. I'll put the handle down in the show notes for that if you want to check out what I have in store, but it's going to be at the beginning of December. So I just have a little something in mind to say thank you and happy holidays and that I love you. So that is that. Okay, let's get started. I'm going to the podcast Instagram right now, going into the questions that I posted yesterday. I'm kind of scared. I don't know why I'm scared. Okay, the first one I'm seeing is, have you experienced perfectionism, procrastination, and anxiety together? Like all at the same time, I'm assuming. Yes. This is how it happens every time, almost, like almost every time. And that's why it's a downward spiral. The perfectionism leads me to get nervous, I guess, about doing things because I want to make sure that I'm doing things perfectly or to the very, very best that they can be. And that causes me to have anxiety about doing the things, and then that causes me to procrastinate so that I don't have to deal with said anxiety and don't have to be a perfectionist at all because I'm not doing anything. But then that causes me more anxiety, which causes me more procrastination, and it just is a downward spiral. So those are the big three: perfectionism, procrastination, and anxiety. When they all come together, it is so hard to break out of that spiral. It's possible, obviously, but it is not a good time. All right, next. I love this question. What is your favorite piece of advice that is getting you through your 20s? I have to say that this one I've got to give to the little thing that my mom has said to me. I've talked about it before on the podcast. Your comfort zone is a great place, but nothing ever grows there. That quote helped me when I was deciding to move out when I was 22, when I decided to transfer, when I decided to switch my major, just so many big things in life. I've thought about that and it's put things into perspective for me immediately. And it just comforts me because it's acknowledging the fact that, yes, it's scary to do something new, do something different outside of your comfort zone. But your comfort zone is a great place because it's comfortable. And in order to grow, you have to step out of that zone. Growth happens outside of your comfort zone. So I do love that piece of advice from my mom. Your comfort zone is a great place, but nothing ever grows there. So true. And it has seen me through so many big changes and big decisions that I've made so far in my 20s. I think about that all the time. I think about that phrase all the time. And I love telling people that. I've said it multiple times on the podcast. I've said it multiple times on my YouTube videos. I just think that it is one of my favorite pieces of advice. Somebody asked, are you moving to London? I wish I was moving to London. No, I don't have any plans to. I am visiting London again very soon. I haven't said that out loud yet, but I don't think I'm moving there. I'm not gonna lie, when I got back from my trip, I was looking into how to move to London. And I found that my best bet would be to probably do like a graduate degree over there. But then I would have to go back to school, and I don't necessarily want to do that, but if it could get me there. But it's also, I heard that getting your pet over there to move with you is a process, and I definitely couldn't go a whole year, God, even 2 years without Charlie. So there's just a lot of, and I'm also such a homebody. Like, I think it's funny that I have said that I wouldn't even want to move to the West Coast because it's too far from my family, but after I got back from London, I was like, no, I'm definitely going to move across the ocean to another continent by myself. Like, as much as I loved it when I went, I think that I probably should stick to just visiting. I know that I can visit for up to a few months without a visa, I think. So that definitely could be an option, honestly. I do love it there. I'm excited to go back again. And I'll tell you all more about that when it is getting closer to that. But as of right now, I do not think I'm going to, oh, not the accent. I think I'm going to stay in the US. But who knows? I could never say never. You know what I mean? Like, if I get an opportunity, I wouldn't say no, because I feel like I would regret that. You never know what's going to happen. Somebody asked, have you gone on any dates recently? No. No, I have not. My friends and I talk about dating all the time and how it would be so nice to like find our person. Like, we just, I don't know. It's seeing other people in happy relationships and just kind of also boredom leads us to talk about this all the time. And I realize that finding somebody, like a boyfriend or whatever, requires me to put myself out there and like go on dates and stuff. So the whole thing just overwhelms me so much. I just don't do any of that. I'm just sitting here expecting something to magically pop into my life and I don't have to do anything, which obviously is not going to happen and is not, it's not reality. I've been reading way too many books. To answer your question though, no, I have not. Part of me wants to though, for the plot, but I also don't want to waste my time. If I'm really not feeling something, I don't want to waste my time or their time by pursuing it. Like, I wouldn't do that just for the plot, but I feel like if I could feel like I maybe could get to know this person better or like them, I would do it. And also it could be for the plot as well, but not just, like, I'm not doing anything just for the plot because it just isn't a good enough reason for me. Next, somebody asked about dealing with critics when posting online / being a creator / people hating on you and self-confidence. I have so much to say about this. I could make an entire episode about this. I talk about this almost every single day with people in my life, specifically my mom. She hears all of it from me. This is something that is unfortunately inevitable. You could do everything possible to please everyone, like everything that you can think of, you can do to try to please absolutely everyone and make everybody like you and to avoid having critics or haters or people tearing you down. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many bases you try to cover. It doesn't matter how many people you try to please. You cannot control other people at all. If somebody does not want to like you or somebody wants to find something about you to hate on, they will. And that sucks, obviously. But there's nothing you can do about it because at the end of the day, that's their decision. All that you can do is your best. I've said this before, and it's so much easier said than done. And it's so freaking funny that I come on this podcast and I say this because, first of all, I know I'm right. Like, I know that what I just said is right. And with that logic, I should be able to be okay with, maybe not be okay with, but at the very least accept that there's nothing I can do to please everybody. It's not my responsibility. And if somebody finds something about me that they don't like and they hate on that, there's nothing that I could do or could have done to avoid that because I can't control other people. Like, I know that's true, but when that does happen, when I see it myself or it's brought to my attention, it hurts my feelings. It fucking hurts my feelings. And I know that I need to have a thicker skin, and you would really think that I would after doing this for as long as I have. I've been doing YouTube for like 6 years. It's only in the past few years that I've noticed how vicious, and maybe it's people have gotten meaner and more bold on the internet. Maybe people have more avenues now to be mean on the internet, because everybody who has access to the internet and can make a social media account can say whatever the fuck they want. They can hide behind anonymous users and not have to say things with their chest. I know that it shouldn't fundamentally get to me. It shouldn't actually be able to get through and hurt my feelings because I know that it's not my responsibility to make everyone like me. My responsibility is just to do my best, and that has to be good enough. But it still sucks when people are just essentially shit talking. It's not constructive. It's not about having your best interest at heart. It's just about tearing you down. There's so much of that. And it makes me really freaking sad. It makes me really sad when it happens to me. It makes me really sad when it happens to my friends. And I'm not talking about constructive criticism. Everybody should be able to receive constructive criticism. And we should be able to give each other that to see each other be better. I think that it's important to help other people to be better. And sometimes you see things that they can't see in themselves, or somebody else has knowledge that someone else doesn't. That's one thing. I'm just talking about straight up being mean with no constructive element. It's just to tear somebody down. You would think that after doing this for however many years, I would have a thicker skin and I just would let things like that roll off. But I'm just trying my best, and I'm such a perfectionist, and I feel like I have to cover all my bases so that nobody can find anything to hate on. And that kind of just fuels my perfectionism more. And then it gives me anxiety about doing anything because I'm like, well, how are people going to take this? How could this be ripped apart? That's something that I think about when I post anything on social media, is how could this be taken badly? How could this be used against me? How could this be ripped apart? How could this be? Yeah. So it's going to happen, because everybody has the right to say whatever they want, really, whether it's good or bad, whether it's helpful or not, whether it's kind or not. But I think that the biggest mistake would be letting that deter me from doing this at all. I think that the benefits outweigh that. I think that me being able to reach people and make people feel comforted is more important to me than the anxiety that I feel sometimes just getting on social media. I'm doing it for myself because this has been my dream since I was a little kid, and I love being creative, and I love having a platform on which to be creative and share these things. But more importantly, I have people who give a fuck and who feel comforted by me being on social media. So that's more important to me than people not liking me or people saying, like, talking shit or whatever it is. It's more important to me that I am making other people smile. It's unnatural to be able to see this many thoughts and opinions from this many people all the time. Social media is a great thing, but it's also a slippery slope. There's so much information. There's so many opinions. There's just so much that we're exposed to all the time. And that can definitely be negative for our mental health, for our well-being, for our self-confidence. There's a lot of amazing things about social media, but there's also a lot of things that aren't as great. I don't think I'm saying anything revolutionary there. I think we all know that, but it is tough. I'm not going to lie. I think that the biggest mistake, as I said, would be letting that deter me from continuing to do what I love, you know? Next, this is a good one. Somebody asked, have you ever thought you were the problem in a relationship? Yep, I have thought that. This is tough because I think that you feed off of each other's energy a lot in relationships. And obviously each person is responsible for their own actions and all of that. But there have been times where I have felt like I was the problem, and looking back, like in the moment I thought I was the problem, but then looking back on the whole thing, I'm realizing that I may have thought I was the problem because I was being gaslit into believing that I was the problem, when I think we probably both were contributing to the problem. But there have been times where it's almost been that I've been made to feel like I was the whole problem so that they weren't, if that makes sense. Shifting blame type of thing. But then again, there are times I've had in other relationships where I look back and I'm like, no, I was the problem. Like 100%, I own up to that. I recognize that I was doing something wrong. It was never my intention. That's the thing, like this one specific time I'm talking about. It was not my intention to do anyone harm or to make anyone feel bad, but I should not have been in a relationship. I didn't have the emotional maturity at the time to recognize that. My resolution from that situation, where I definitely was the problem, was to acknowledge it, apologize, own up to it, and do better. Recognize in the future if, you know, similar circumstances are happening and I feel a little bit of deja vu happening and I'm going to be the problem again, to not let myself go down that path, not let myself even get into that situation. And it really sucks that it took me being in this situation and in this relationship to learn that. But I genuinely, before that, just didn't have the same set of knowledge that I have now. I didn't have the same emotional maturity, emotional intelligence as I do now. And it's so unfortunate that that sometimes comes at the expense of somebody else. I've apologized profusely about it. It doesn't change anything, but I'm also just really hard on myself and I overthink a lot of things. And this was so many years ago that it probably doesn't even matter anymore. It's not like I did anything egregiously bad. I just was not emotionally available. And I was detached a lot of the time and just attitude and all of that. And it just wasn't good. It wasn't a good situation for either person. And I, whatever, it's over. I learned. But the answer is yes. I have thought I was the problem in a relationship. Okay. Somebody asked, dying to know your thoughts on the ACOTAR books. Okay, so if you didn't know, ACOTAR is A Court of Thorns and Roses. That is the first book in this series. I started this series a couple weeks ago. I read the first book. I just talked about this in my YouTube video, but when I was reading the first book, it took me a second to get into it. Let me give you a little overview of this series, okay? ACOTAR is a fantasy series. It is set in this world where there's the mortal realm and there's the fairy realm. And this isn't a spoiler. This happens in the first book, like, immediately, but it follows this girl named Feyre, F-E-Y-R-E. So she's a human. She lives in the mortal realm. And then something happens and she ends up in the fairy realm as a human. It follows her journey there and also gets into the beef between the mortal realm and the fairy realm and like how the fairy realm is governed and all these different things and the war. And it's hard to even talk about this without giving any spoilers, but that's the gist of it. So I read the first book and I knew that it was a first book in a series. So I knew there was a lot more to come. I probably took like 40% of the book to really get into it. I'm a newer fantasy reader also. It can just take me a second to get my bearings on what the world is, what this world looks like, and for me to connect with it. Once I did that, I was interested in the characters. I was interested in the story and the conflict between the two realms and the conflicts between the characters and all of that. So I read the first book, but I was wildly hooked on the second book of this series. It's A Court of Mist and Fury is book two. I have heard from people that they just keep getting better, which is crazy. Oh my God. I stayed up until 4 a.m. reading. I think it was ACOTAR that I stayed up till 4 a.m. reading. And then I stayed up till 3 a.m. another night reading Mist and Fury. I just couldn't stop. A Court of Mist and Fury is one of my favorite books I've read in a very long time. Gripping. Oh my God. So there's conflicts happening already, but then there's also romance elements. And I fucking love a romantasy. I love it when there's a plot, when there's something overarching that's going on that people are trying to figure out. But there's also the plot of the romances and like what's going to happen there. It just, oh, I love it. I am really enjoying this freaking series. I'm really excited to continue on and read the rest of them. I think there's five or six out right now. I love it. I'm just really enjoying the fantasy genre. And I'm really happy that I'm finally dipping my toe into it again. I read the Twilight series when I was in like the fifth grade. That was my first taste, I think, of fantasy. I never read the Harry Potter books. I've always loved the movies. I just never read the books. I liked the Twilight books a lot better than the movies, if I remember correctly. I read them so long ago. I think I also read like Percy Jackson and all those books too. But since then, I haven't really dabbled in fantasy much. And I'm so happy I'm getting back into it. There's so much out there and I'm so excited about it. And it's just catapulted me back into my love for reading. And it just makes me so excited at the end of the day to like curl up with my book and catch back up on these worlds. Somebody asked, I'm a senior in high school and I have no clue what I want to do in college. How do I decide? My biggest piece of advice with this is that you don't have to decide when you're a senior in high school. I know it can feel that way. And I know that the way that people talk about college when you're a senior in high school is like you have to make all your decisions right now and that has to be what you stick with. And basically you have to decide the entire trajectory of your life when you're 17 years old. As somebody who felt that way and then went through college and made it on the other side, you don't have to decide right now. Most people have no idea what they want to do when they're 17 years old. A lot of people come out of college and still don't exactly know what they want to do. And that is normal. What's not normal is being expected to make all of your huge life decisions and have them like set in stone concrete when you're 17. If you don't like the college you chose, you can transfer. If you don't like the major you picked at first, you can switch to a different one. I think the statistic is that on average, each student changes their major 3 times. I changed my major 3 times. I will say though, when I was going into college, my heart was telling me that I wanted to do marketing because I just felt drawn to it. I felt like it would encompass everything that I love, and it would work the right side of my brain, left side of my brain. I was drawn to it. And then I was talked out of it by adults, other adults in my life, that said that it wasn't smart and it was not a stable career and that I should pick something more reliable, I guess. I let that affect my decision, and I went into college with an undecided business major. So I knew I wanted to be in the business school, but I was kind of led away from marketing. So I was exploring other quote unquote more reliable options like accounting. I ended up trying that, didn't love it, whatever. Fast forward a few years, at the end of college, I graduated with a degree in marketing. I came back to it on my own. I realized it was what I was passionate about, and I would rather do something that I'm passionate about, not entirely knowing the stability long term of that, than doing something that I hate for the money or for the quote unquote stability, which even at this point in how the world is with AI and all of this stuff, so many things can be automated and so many things are starting to be done without humans. It feels like nothing is safe, first of all. Second of all, I feel like I'm more likely to be successful at something that I'm passionate about than something that I'm doing just for the money. I explored other things. I think that's a big piece of advice too, is just explore stuff. If you can take a gen ed class in an area that you may think you may be interested in majoring in, try it. Dip your toe in different things. Meet people who are in these different majors and schools and all that. Get a feel for what that's like. And if you have the opportunity, like I said, to join clubs or to do any type of activities or to take a class in that field, try it. Just kind of try things out. If you like them, great. If you don't, or you think that something might be better, or you get another idea, you can pursue that. That's what college is for. College is for trying different things out, learning what you like and what you don't. You don't have to have that figured out before you even get there, because that's what it's there for. Just let yourself try things. Don't put too much pressure on yourself to have everything figured out, because you're A, it's not possible. B, putting that type of undue pressure on yourself just can sometimes pigeonhole you and not let you be open-minded and see other opportunities that may end up being better for you. But you don't have to decide right now. There are so many good questions. I wish I could answer all of them. I'm going to do a couple more, but if I answer all the ones I want to, we're going to be here for 3 hours. Somebody asked, how can one manage to get everything done on a to-do list without getting overwhelmed? I deal with this all the time. I will put so many things on my to-do list, and I'll just look at the list instead of motivating me. It makes me feel like there's no way I'm going to get any of this done, and it discourages me. The complete opposite effect that I want. The solution that I've found to this, at least for myself, is to write shorter to-do lists. Don't bombard yourself with tasks. Also, I will tend to break up my tasks into smaller tasks on my to-do list. And that can help, because turning a big task into smaller tasks can make each of the parts feel more manageable. But I think that when it comes to a to-do list, I am more likely to get everything done and not overwhelm myself by just putting less tasks on the to-do list. And also putting them on there in order of priority. This is something I learned from a journal workbook type of thing I just got. It's called the Productivity Planner from Intelligent Change. And one of the things that they have in their planner that every single day is you pick one task. And if that is the only thing that you get done that day, then you are satisfied with your day. I would say try to do something like that. That helps me so much. Just one main task. That's your number one priority. And if you get that task done, you will be happy with that. And then make a couple of secondary tasks. So once you finish that main task, those are the next two most important things in line. For me, I know when I'm looking at that big main priority task that it's actually made up of a bunch of little tasks. But for some reason, when I just write the main task on my to-do list as my number one priority thing and not 10 smaller tasks, it makes it easier for me to attack. If I look at a list and there's 10 things I have to do, I'm like, oh my God, that's so much. But then if I look at my list and there's one thing I need to do, I'm like, okay, this is my end goal. If I want to take another piece of paper, another note card or sticky note or something and write out the specific steps that I need to do just so that I know everything I need to do, then that's great. But I'm not going to put all of those things on my to-do list for the day because it's too much and it's overwhelming. So to summarize, put less things on your to-do list, but always pick one that is the high priority one and tell yourself that if you complete that one, then you will be satisfied and you will be happy. All right, I think I'm going to end on this question because this is actually pertinent to my life right now. Somebody asked, any advice for starting something new and dealing with anxiety? First of all, I think that anxiety is normal when starting something new, or just nerves in general, because it's uncomfortable. And as I said, your comfort zone is a great place, but nothing ever grows there. Growth is uncomfortable. In order to grow, you have to make yourself uncomfortable. So there's that. But even knowing that, I still am going to feel that discomfort and that anxiety when starting something new. Even though I know it's coming, I can't necessarily avoid it. I just know that it's going to happen and I'm going to have to work through it. So I think that's what this person is asking. My biggest issue is when I'm starting something new, this also brings my perfectionist tendencies into the chat. I feel like I have to be perfect at stuff right off the bat, or I have to get everything right on my first try. But the whole point of starting something new is for you to learn. Nobody expects you to be perfect at anything right away. And if they do, then they're wrong. Everything in life is a learning experience. Nobody just steps into something brand fucking new. That's the whole point of it being new. When something's new, you don't have experience with it. It's new to you. You have things to learn about it. So if that is the definition of something being new, you can't expect yourself to be perfect at it or even necessarily great at it at first. It is so normal. And honestly, I feel like it happens more times that you suck at something at first than you're good at it at first. Everybody wants to be a natural. Or maybe that's just me. I want to be a natural at stuff. I want to be able to pick something up and do it well. When I think about something too much and I think about the fact that I want that, that's my expectation for myself, it deters me from even taking the first step or trying something in the first place because I don't want to even try anything or do anything until I feel like I have all my ducks in a row and everything is perfectly set and I'm going to be great at it right off the bat and I'm never going to fail and it's just going to be completely successful from the start. That just isn't real life. You have to allow yourself to be a beginner, and being a beginner is uncomfortable. You're putting yourself into a situation that you are not familiar with, which is uncomfortable. It's part of it. The most important part of all of this, I think, is to go with it, kinda. Acknowledge that that is normal to feel, and that being new at something means you have a lot to learn. There's a lot of opportunity for you to learn. It doesn't mean that if you're not good at it at first that you should quit or that you suck or that it's not the right thing for you. You have to allow yourself to be a beginner. Just be okay with being a beginner and don't make your expectations for yourself too high when you're starting something new. Give yourself the space to learn and explore this new thing and enjoy that. That's another part. Like, when you're too worried about becoming really good at something really quickly or even being perfect at it at first, which is just ridiculous and that shouldn't be your goal because it's perfectionism is not, like, being perfect isn't possible and blah, blah, blah. When your main focus is just on doing really well really quickly, you're kind of sometimes forgetting to enjoy the thing. You should be enjoying something new that you're starting, or at least looking for joy in it. Don't be so caught up in immediate success that you forget to enjoy the process. Ooh, that was good. I'm ending on that. To add my own little side note to that question, I feel the exact same way when I start new things. I get so nervous. I get so much anxiety, and that leads me to not want to do it at all because it's not familiar to me. And I'd rather stick with what's comfortable, what's familiar, because I know I'm good at those things. But if I do that, I'm not going to allow myself to grow. I'm not putting myself in any positions to learn new things or to grow when I stay in my comfort zone. It all leads back to that freaking quote from my mom. Your comfort zone's a great place, but nothing ever grows there. Everything leads back to that, literally. This is so full circle. That is quite honestly the defining quote of my 20s and probably for the rest of my life. But especially in this period of my life that I'm in right now where there's so much change. And if you are also in a similar period in your life listening to this, you know there's so much change. There's so much new stuff being added, new things being introduced. You're making new moves, trying new things, learning new things, meeting new people. There's just so much new happening. And if you choose to stay where you're comfortable, you're missing out on a lot of opportunities for growth. This is such a great time in life to grow so much, grow as much as you can. And the only way that you can do that is by opening yourself up to new experiences, which are going to make you uncomfortable. And through that, you'll get stronger, you'll get more confident. And when another thing comes up that is new and makes you feel uncomfortable, you'll recognize that you've been there before. You've done this before. This is not your first rodeo. You knew you made it through the last time. You'll make it through this time. And you'll come out on the other side, at the very least, knowing something that you didn't know before. Alrighty. That's all. There's so many questions I want to answer. There's so many more that I was looking at and I wanted to answer, but I swear if I answered all of them, we'd be here for 3 hours, 4 hours. No one wants to listen to me for that long. So I'm going to do everyone a favor and stop here. But I love doing this. Oh my gosh. Maybe I should do more of these than just every 10 episodes. I could throw one in every now and then when I want to chat. Y'all ask such good questions and I want to give advice on as many things as I can. But I think I'm going to go through these responses and let them kind of be some inspiration for future episodes. If there's anything that I feel like I can make an entire episode about that I haven't done already, and it's something that was asked a lot, then that's really helpful for me. And I can use that as kind of a jumping off point for a full topic episode. So thank you so much to everybody who responded to my question sticker and asked a question. Thank you to everyone who listens at all. If you are listening right now, thank you for being here. I love and appreciate you so much. And I will be back next week with a brand new episode. Hope you all have an amazing rest of your day, amazing rest of your week. Happy November. If you're listening when this is coming out, it's October still, but anytime past that, happy November, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. It's the best time of the year, most wonderful time of the year. All right, I love y'all so much, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.